to stand against, to oppose. What does it mean to resist the devil? You know, we cannot be really submitted to God unless we are actively resisting Satan. Satan is the enemy of God. Satan opposes us constantly. And he is constantly encouraging us to a proud, self-centered, pleasure-seeking life. And that really is the very heart of worldliness. Pride, self-seeking, pleasure, gratification of the flesh, that is the very heart of worldliness. That is what this whole world is all about. That's the way Satan designed it. You know, God also knows that in us, in every one of us, there is that part of our nature that really likes a good fight. I know I'm like that. I sort of like a good argument. I have found myself at times changing my positions in the middle of an argument just to keep it going. But we all like a good fight every once in a while. And I think that's part of our nature, and I don't think it's necessarily bad. Because God also designed us to oppose evil. And we ought to put that nature to proper use in opposing the devil, demons, and unrighteousness in any form. Well, how can we resist the devil we can't see? How can an invisible foe attack us? Are we really in any danger of the devil attacking us? You know, there's only one devil. And he's not God. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He cannot be in every place on the earth at the same time. He can only be in one place at one time, like all of the other angels. And you know, we might say, well, that means that there's only one out of every, since there are 4.5 billion people in the world, my chances of Satan ever attacking me are one out of every, out of 4.5 billion. And that's true. But you see, there's much more to the attack of Satan than a personal visitation of that demon of darkness into your personal life. Satan attacks you every day of your life, every minute of every day. How does he do it? Well, he designed a whole world system. And the whole purpose of this world system is to lure us away, to entice us away from God and spiritual things. He is the designer of it. How does he attack us? Does he sneak up behind us? You know, we have all kinds of silly, superstitious ideas about the devil. An old red man with a pitchfork and a tail, and every once in a while he sneaks up and jabs you. Well, that's not exactly the way the Bible describes the devil. His opposition is much more subtle than that. But yet he does attack us every day through the world system. And that's why James mentions the devil here with the subject of worldliness. And how does he get at us? Through our eyes, through our ears, through the things we touch, the things we see, the things that come to us. You know, every single day of our lives, we are actually bombarded with all kinds of hints and innuendos and suggestions and philosophies and ideas. We are just bombarded with them day after day, and it is all the design of the devil. It's his world. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of this earth. All kinds of propaganda designed by him to take us away from the Lord. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to see a parallel passage to to James 4:7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Here we read that Satan is a roaring lion. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In a sense, that could be encouraging to us. In this sense, that it says here that the devil has to wander all over the earth trying to find a Christian that he can devour. Now, it's bad news for that Christian he finds and devours. But in a sense, it's good news for the rest of us. You know, that really tells us that the devil's power over a believer is very limited if he has to wander the whole earth trying to find a Christian he can devour. You see, he has to find a Christian who's not walking by faith. has to find a Christian who is carnal, who is sleeping spiritually, who is proud, who is self-sufficient, who is caught up with the ideas and philosophies and the riches and all the ways of this earth. And then he has found his meal. You know, he may attack any one of us at any time. Or he may send one of his multitude of demons to attack any one of us at any time. But do we also know and understand that we are more than conquerors in Christ? And that while he may attack any one of us, he never, ever, ever can defeat us when we're walking by faith. You see, faith is our victory. How is it that we are saved? By faith, and faith alone. And you know, every single aspect of our Christian life, every bit of it, is by faith. In the past, we were justified, we were saved in the past by faith and faith alone. And you know, there's also a present tense to our salvation. Today, we are not, if you're a believer, you're not being saved from the penalty of sin anymore. That took place once and for all by faith. But presently, we are being saved from the power of sin by faith and faith alone. And you know, the power of sin comes to us in three ways. It comes to us through the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are our three enemies. And in every instance, we are victors over them through faith. We can defeat the devil through faith. This deliverance is promised by God. It's beyond human capability. Remember, the devil is an incredibly powerful creature. Certainly more powerful than any of the other angelic beings who are far superior to us presently. Not for long, but presently. Only by divine power can these evil spirits be overcome. And so our responsibility is to walk by faith. But you know what Satan's deception is? Oh, you can do it yourself. Oh, you're good enough. You've got enough willpower. You're a strong enough Christian. And that attitude of pride is exactly the way the darts of the devil, when we let down the shield of faith and we're proud and self-sufficient in and of ourselves, that is when the devil has us defeated. You know what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10? This other passage that deals with victory or resisting the devil, that's what Ephesians 6 is all about, withstanding in the evil day. Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's faith. That is trust and reliance on God's power. Turn to Jude chapter 9. Jude verse 9. Jude verse 9. Did you know that even the angels are afraid of Satan presently? And even the angels dare not resist the devil in their own power. Jude verse 9. Here is, in all likelihood, the second most powerful angel ever created. He is the only angel in the Bible ever called an archangel, and probably the only archangel. Second only in rank to Lucifer, the anointed cherub. And so we see here Michael the archangel in verse 9, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. And he durst or dared not to bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now here was Michael the archangel, the second highest ranking angel, against Lucifer, the anointed cherub, the highest ranking angel. And it says that Michael was afraid to rebuke Satan, or Lucifer. He was afraid to resist the devil in his own power. They were arguing over Moses' body. Remember when Moses appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? He appeared already, and somehow he was taken into heaven. And he was transformed, and he was given a glorified body in order to appear with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. So in order for that to take place, Moses' body had to be transported from the earth into the heavens, right through the realm, right through the domain of Satan himself. And there was a great battle between Michael and his angels, or at least between Michael and the devil. But in that confrontation, Michael, the second highest ranking angel, was afraid to resist the devil in his own power. And he said, "The Lord rebuke me." You know, it says the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 2, that all the angels are afraid to resist the devil in their own powers. And with good reason. Because Satan is far superior in power to them. Not in rank, according to holiness, but in power. And so, you know, there's an interesting passages that deal with the subject of resisting the devil. Three passages. 1 Peter 5, and James chapter 4, and also in Ephesians 6. And you know what you're going to see in that same, in those contexts that deal with resisting the devil? The same thing in each of the three contexts. Submit to God by faith. Humble yourself before the Lord. Submit to God. Be clothed with humility. Resist steadfastly in the faith. Draw near to God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the shield of faith. And so in all of the instances where resisting the devil is mentioned in the Bible, we always see the idea of faith, submission to God. You see, that's really the only way we're going to have deliverance from the power of the devil. Salvation by faith. And also salvation is through the cross. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And verses 14 and 15. Here we want to see that the cross provided salvation from the power of the devil. Now we know that the cross provided salvation from the penalty of sin, but it also provides salvation from the power of sin and the power of darkness in our lives today. Ephesians 2, 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's the Mosaic Law. And having spoiled principalities and powers. These are all the powers of demonism and Satan. He spoiled them, making a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus Christ conquered the powers of evil through the cross. What is our victory over the devil? Believe what God says. Do you remember Romans chapter 6? Where Paul says, our flesh has already been crucified with Christ, and how are we to have victory over sin? We are to believe that it really has been crucified. Even if it doesn't seem crucified, we are to believe that it's dead. And that's just what Paul said about our relationship to the world. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, I am crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. Now, it sure doesn't seem like that. It seems like the world has an overwhelming attraction and power to us, but victory over the world, Satan's domain, is through faith. Believe that it's already conquered. And the same thing with the devil. He has been conquered by the cross of Christ. Even though it doesn't seem like his influence in our life is out, is gone, God says to believe it. This is simply faith. It's taking God's word at face value and just resting and trusting in it. Even if it doesn't seem like we are victors over the world, the flesh, and the devil, God says we are. We are to rely on that, to reckon it to be so. But you know, all of this faith does not mean that our resisting the devil is something laid back and passive. And you know, you listen to these charismatic speakers on the radio or on television. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm saying if you do, you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear all kinds of superstitious ideas about the devil and about how we're going to have victory over him. And the charismatic movement in general teaches this, that if we just lay ourselves back and just wipe out all of our minds and all of our thoughts and just let our minds flow, that God will just take over from there. The devil will take over from there. Faith means relying upon the Lord. That does not mean that anything goes in our thinking. When we have real faith and are trusting in the Lord, then it's God that works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But notice that we have to use our will in order to do His good pleasure. We have to be actively participating with God, trusting in His power, but our will is involved if we're going to have victory over the devil. And it takes faith. If we believe that every time our flesh tempts us, or the world tempts us, or the devil attacks us, if we believe that He's more powerful than us and He's going to conquer us, then we're going to be defeated. But our victory over the devil is faith. You know, there was one great example in the New Testament about victory over the devil, and that's found in Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn there for a moment. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, we have the account of the Lord Jesus Christ being led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit in order to be tempted by the devil. Here, Christ gave us the supreme example of resisting the devil. How did He do it? Look what it says in verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written." Satan tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ referred to the Word of God. Look in verse 7. After the second temptation, Jesus said unto him, "It is written again." He referred to God's Word. And in verse 10, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." Each time, Jesus referred to the Word of God. But you know, we often hear, and again, especially from the charismatic camp, we hear men giving us some kind of an indication, reading this passage, that somehow, if you just chant Bible verses, then the devil will flee. He'll never flee. He's got you. If we have reduced God's Word to some superstitious incantation, it is nothing more than a Protestant rosary bead. If we're just going to chant Bible verses and hope that by the mere sounds of them, the devil will flee, he will not. You know, you can quote Scripture all day long and the devil won't flee, because it's not the sounds of the words. A tape recorder can do that. What causes the devil to flee is not the sounds of God's Word, but it's our reliance upon it. It's faith in the words, "It is written." It's trust, it's reliance, it's dependence upon the God who spoke those words, and our belief in it. And when we have faith like that, the devil will flee. You know, the Bible gives us all kinds of confidence that we have as believers. Satan can't pluck us out of our Father's hands. Satan can't pluck us out of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing in heaven above or earth beneath or even the hell beneath the earth, nothing can separate us. None of the angels, the principalities, or the powers can separate us from the love of Christ. None of them, even Satan himself. When we are faced with temptation, God always provides a way to escape. God is always able to keep us from falling, Jude 24. These promises are to be believed by God's people, not chanted like Lucky Charms, not hung on our walls as if they're holy pictures that are going to ward off evil spirits, but to be believed and counted upon as fact. Turn to 1 Peter again, in chapter 5, before you will. 1 Peter chapter 5. Two things that Peter says that we are to do. We're going to resist the devil and cause him to flee from us. Peter says in chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober and be vigilant. Sober means to be free from every form of mental and spiritual loss or lack of self-control. It is absolute freedom from anything that would take away our self-control. It's an attitude of self-discipline of the mind. And I'd like to quote one definition I received of this word. The irresponsibility of self-indulgence on the one hand and the religious ecstasy on the other. These are the two extremes that we can take. Either case, we're not sober. When we are on the one hand, either just irresponsible and self-indulgent, or on the other hand, we may be off in some kind of charismatic trance or ecstasy. It doesn't matter which extreme we take. If we take those two extremes, we are not sober. Sobriety, this kind of level-headedness, requires full possession of our faculties and our feelings. When our mind is running wild, we're not sober-minded. When our emotions are running wild, we are not sober-minded. And we're fair targets for the devil. Peter also says we're to be vigilant. That means awake. Wake up. Be vigilant. Even in hot weather, we have to be alert and awake. That's what this word vigilant means. And constant attention needs to be given to the devil in our lives. We need to be constantly aware that we live in a hostile environment, that the whole design of this world system is to take us away from the Lord and spiritual things, and that there is a literal personal demon called the devil in multitudes of others, and that the Bible said he's a roaring lion waiting to devour us. You know, both of those things require faith, to be alert. If you really believed that there was a roaring lion out there waiting to devour you, you wouldn't fall asleep. If I told you there was a poisonous snake in this room, one bite of which would instantly cause your death, nobody would be asleep.
Hey, that's a good idea.
No, it isn't. But turn back to James 4 again. We want to see that we have a great promise in this verse as well. James 4 and verse 7 says, if we resist the devil through faith, he'll flee. He fled away from Christ. He even fled away from Job. Couldn't touch Job. Oh, he could touch his body. He could touch his possessions. He could touch him physically. But he couldn't get at Job's spirit. Couldn't get Job to curse the Lord. And you see, we need to have that assurance that there's nothing the devil can do to us when we're walking by faith. Doubt and fear cause the devil to have great boldness. But a determined faith that is resolutely determined to resist the devil and trust the Lord, the devil cannot touch us to any harm spiritually. If our spiritual armor is on, that shield of faith, remember? It's the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the wicked. It's faith. It's trusting in the Lord. And Satan can never, ever, ever lead us into sin when we're walking by faith. Now, that's a word of encouragement. He may be the most powerful creature ever made by the Lord, but he can't touch us. He can throw all kinds of darts at us, but they are never able to penetrate faith. Reliance on the Lord. And so we need not fear the devil. You see, there's a difference between a kind of fear that causes us to cower away and shudder and cringe, and another kind of fear that is a healthy respect for a power that causes us to be cautious. And we ought never to cower away from the devil as if we were defeated by him, but we ought to, because he is a powerful creature, because he is the Lord's anointed, because he... because he is the most powerful of all creation, we need to respect him. In fact, the New Testament calls him a dignitary. He has a high rank. One day he'll be cast to the lake of fire. But we need to respect him in the sense that we respect fire, something powerful but dangerous. So we need to have the kind of fear that respects the devil and his power, but not the kind of fear that causes us to cower away. You know, one man wrote, and I like this little phrase, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. We have a great victory in Christ. We're more than conquerors. You know, you might be afraid if you were flying in an airplane and all of a sudden a man stood up and he was a terrorist. And here he says he's got this hand grenade in his hand and he's going to pull the pin out. And you know, I'm sure that would cause all of us great fear, if we were thinking. It would cause great fear if this terrorist stood up with a hand grenade and was ready to pull out the pin. But if you knew that the FBI and the CIA were on the plane, and they already knew about this, And they had already taken that hand grenade, unbeknown to the terrorists, and had taken all the powder and all the explosives out of it, and it was as harmless as anything. If you really knew that and believed that, you would not cower and shudder and tremble and cringe and go away from that terrorist. You'd sit there as a conqueror, knowing that you're just waiting for the CIA to take it. His days are numbered. And you know, that is the position of Satan today. We are more than conquerors in Christ. And when we have that determined, resolute faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that evil powers can do to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have salvation from sin and the penalty of sin in the past. But Father, we thank thee also that we have a great deliverance and salvation from the power of sin in our own lives and the power of the devil in the world. Father, help us to believe that we are victors through Christ. And Father, help us to lead triumphant, victorious lives, walking by faith and trusting in thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.